Now, algebraic quadratic equation is actually a quadratic function where the equation coefficients are given by A, R, and Q. A could be any square matrix, and R and Q are usually symmetric. They could be different dimensions, same dimensions, of course, but they are not necessarily semi-definite or in any sense. But a lot of cases we're going to see later on, actually, that either Q or R, they may be a positive semi-definite or a negative semi-definite, and so on, where in particular cases that we can conclude the equation has solutions. Now, given such an algebraic quadratic equation, they usually have more than one solutions, and in fact, they could be possibly m multiply n plus 1 over 2 solutions, where n is dimension of A. Of course, they not necessarily have so many solutions, but they could be as many as that many solutions. But we are not interested in all the solutions. We are only interested in the symmetric solutions. That's where we have choosing R and Q to be symmetric. We are actually particularly interested in certain special symmetric solutions, such that the A plus Rx is a stable matrix, and this solution is called a stabilizing solution. And we're actually going to see that such a solution is unique if it exists. Now, to solve the algebraic Ricard equation, we're not going to solve directly by looking at the quadratic equations, but actually we're going to solve using some alternative techniques. Here we going to do is consider a Hamiltonian matrix that is constructed from the coefficient of the algebraic Ricard equation. Now, it's fairly easy to see, multiply those matrices together, you can see that J inverse HJ is actually equal to minus H transpose. So what that means is H is symmetric, is similar to minus H star. In other words, well, that actually means that if there's, let's say, if H has an eigenvalue at lambda, then it also must have an eigenvalue at minus lambda bar. Now, since if there's any complex, if H is a real matrix, let's say, then H has any complex eigenvalues, then it must appear in pairs. So if you have a complex eigenvalue, okay, at lambda, let's say in the right half plane, the first quadrant of the left half plane, then it must have another complex conjugate in the fourth quadrant, and also have an image of that according to this conclusion that has an eigenvalue in the second quadrant, which with minus lambda star, and of course there is another eigenvalue at the third quadrant. So they are actually symmetric to the real axis and the imaginary axis whenever you have complex eigenvalues. Now, if there is a real eigenvalue, of course, then if there is a, let's say, minus alpha, there must be also eigenvalue at alpha. So the eigenvalues actually appears in pairs and in the image of the to the real real and real and imaginary axis. From this result, we can conclude that, well, if the H matrix, okay, if the H matrix does not have any eigenvalues on imaginary axis, okay, does not have any eigenvalues on imaginary axis, then there must be, by the symmetric property, there must be, since H has two eigenvalues, right? So it must have n eigenvalues in the right half plane and another n eigenvalues in the left half plane. Okay, this is very important. Okay, so if H has no arguments on the margin axis, there must be n arguments on the right, and another n arguments on the left.